This is BBC Six Music.
And this, already enjoying more efficient fuel consumption since getting rid of those England flags from our car, is Round Table, with me, Andrew Collins, sitting here warm and dry in London, although I believe everyone in Glastonbury is warm and dry as well at the moment. And this is a special Glastonbury Roundtable, which means we're just reviewing records as normal, but one of us isn't here. One of us is in Somerset. Those who are here are Gideon Coe and Richard Herring. Gideon first. Hello, Gideon.
Hello there.
Always nice to have you. The return of the king, I like to think, when you come on. Just because you're on the first show that we ever did at Roundtable. And are you glad or not that you're down here rather than down there?
Well, I always go through Glastonbury Envy when I'm not there. Yeah. Every time I go, I love it. Every time I don't go, I kick myself a little bit for it, but then I... to save myself this, I'm going on holiday tomorrow, so just today it's bugging me a little bit, mainly because of Sunday night, actually, and I rarely stay for very late on Sunday night because Orbital playing Sunday night, and that's one thing I'd really like to see this year.
Farewell gig. Mm. And you're going on holiday tomorrow to Somerset?
No, to Mallorca.
Mallorca.
It might be on TV over there, I understand. I'll get onto the internet and listen to it via the wireless as well.
Yeah, listen to Six Music.
Exactly so, thank you, yeah.
Self-plug. At the moment, we're having trouble with the chat room. So at the moment, there is no chat room for us. I don't know if there is one for you. You might want to go and try it out if you're listening. BBC.co.uk/6music. Richard Herring is here. Hello, Richard.
Hello, how are you doing?
I'm very well, and I know all about you. You have had the year of your life. Is it not fair to say?
I'm nearly dead now. I don't think I'm going to get through to the end.
Last time we had you on Roundtable, you were about to do the marathon, which you successfully did.
I did that. Yeah.
And you've also since then jumped out of a plane and walked on hot coals.
Yes.
Really?
I have, yeah.
Because it's all part of a crazy comedy show you're taking to Edinburgh.
It is. For the 12 Tasks of Hercules Terrace. I also dated 50 women in 50 days, which has actually left me as a wreck of a man.
And
diseased wreck.
Because Hercules impregnated 50 women in 50 days.
I did. I hope I haven't done that. No, I mean, I'm sure I haven't done that. I know I haven't done that.
Yeah, you were there. Right, so we'll listen to some music then. But Mark Gardner is down in Glastonbury. Mark, are you there? Oh, we'd love it if you were.
Yeah, I definitely am here.
Oh, that's good. That
totally
is it.
And utterly.
We've got a full set. Nice to hear from you, Mark.
Yeah, and you.
Are you well?
I'm very well, yeah. It's very hot here.
That's good.
As been said, and it's the usual shenanigans here, and all good, yeah.
And you're playing the new tent this very evening.
Yeah, in an hour and a half.
Hour and a half. Yeah. So we're really ruining your evening by making you do this for an hour.
Right, you know.
Taking your mind off the nerves.
Exactly.
And then after we finish, you'll just go and vomit, will you?
Well, no, that'll probably be later.
Now, if people haven't seen you recently, they may remember you having a big floppy fringe. You've got quite short hair now, haven't you?
I have, yeah. The time caught up with the hair scenario, so I had to take the clippers out to it. But yeah, it's been a while, and it's been I think actually 10 years to the day when I played here with Ride on the Pyramid Stage.
Wow. So.
I was informed today, so that's always good to know.
Excellent. So, well, we'll listen to some music that isn't Ride. In fact, we're going to listen to the Pixies, who I understand are the most downloaded artist on that new iTunes thing that's just opened up in Europe. So let's hear Bam Thwok.
I can hear the buzz and modulations of the universe, but you're the first to
Ram Thwok by the Pixies. That's released as a download on June the 15th. It's the first new Pixie song for 13 years. Clearly, they've recently reformed. It's released through the internet on midnight, June the 15th. And written by Kim Deal and produced and recorded by the band in Los Angeles in March. Now, the idea, of course, the Pixies are giving us a new song. You could say it was unnecessary. I don't know. By the way, if you're listening live, you can now get into the chat room, I'm told. You haven't seen it yet, but we're told that it's out there. bbc.co.uk/sixmusic. But in the studio, we'll be talking about the Pixies. And I suppose the most important thing about the Pixies is whether they should have reformed or not in the first place. And if they did reform, which many people seem to be very happy about, who saw them play live, should they do a new song? Let's go, first of all, I think I'm going to go to Glastonbury first. Because it's so exciting that we have got somebody out there in the country. Mark Gardner is down there. Mark, yes. The Pixies and you, what's your relationship like?
Very good. We played with them in Crystal Palace years ago. I've always been a massive fan of the Pixies. And, you think, well, is it good that they reform? But I think if they're making music like this, then it's great. And I'm sure live they're still fantastic, because they always were. So I'm really happy with this one, yeah.
People are saying good things about them.
I've heard great things. I mean, well, they were always great live, so I can't see that they, 13 years on, they'd have lost the plot on that one. And it sounds like they're still writing great tunes.
They never kind of moved around much on stage in the first incarnation, and they're not now either. Yeah. But the fact they all hate each other now, you can't tell, because they never did really interact much on stage anyway, the first time around.
But then maybe that's good. It's all about that sort of that friction thing. That something's going on there. It always was, and it still is here and there.
Gideon Coe. You'd seen them live this time round, and the first time round.
I saw one of the Brixton shows, and they were absolutely fantastic. It was the Friday, I believe the Wednesday was less good, the Thursday was the best, Friday was brilliant, Saturday was also brilliant, and one of the best things about going to see Pixies was the whole business. Without being too cynical about it, they weren't about to say at any point, here's a new number. However, if they had said, here's a new number, and it had been Bam Thwok, I wouldn't have minded at all.
Right.
Because I think it's a pretty good piece of work. I think the later Pixies stuff, before the split, if it had Kim Deal's stamp on it, it tended to up the quality, if you don't mind me saying so. The only thing that, sorry to be a harbinger of doom, really, the Pixies reunion, I think it's great, and once this round is finished with, then what happens? Are they going to make another record, and then they'll come and tour again, and then the live show's maybe not quite so good, and then they'll split up again, and if they do, that's it. Enough already. Yeah. But great to have them back. I think this is good.
Well, they are, of course, touring Europe as we speak, and they're coming back to the UK for the Move Festival at Old Trafford Cricket Ground, 8th to the 11th of July, and then Tina Park, then Beam Festival. So if you haven't seen them yet, you can. Richard Herring.
Hello.
Not the Sex Pistols.
No.
Or Ben Folds.
No.
Or one of the other five bands in your record collection. You've never barged in here and said, please let me be on because I know more about music than all of you put together.
No,
but
I
think that is your charm. of your presence, because you can just say, is it any good or not?
You're the stalking horse.
I am. Yeah. I think you should play Cliff Richard. I think it's wrong that you don't play Cliff Richard. That you should make a protest.
Just get those
Not for publicity or anything. I thought it was quite nice. It was quite good. But they shouldn't record a new song. I think they're from the 1990s, and they should stay there. They should stay 80s. In the 1990s. They shouldn't. 1990 is 13 years ago. So that's, in fact, 1991 is 13 years ago. So that's where they should stay.
No, well,
there. But no, I did like it. It was like, the Bangles or something like that. Susie and the Banshees.
I like it. It's kind of it's like pin the tail on the donkey, pin it on the head.
And they got the lyrics out of a book they found in the street.
Yes, that's true.
I think that is fantastic. It saves. I wish someone would. I'm hoping I find a script for my show in the street
before you have to actually do it.
Before August.
Right, so that's the Pixies then. We're going to give it a mark out of 10, and I can see the chat room. In a way, that's a very, very pleasing thing to see. It's like seeing the sun come through the clouds at Glastonbury. So you can join the people who've managed to get in there already, bbc.co.uk/sixmusic. Let us then, in London and in Glastonbury, give that a mark out of 10. Bam Thwok by the Pixies. Mark Gardner.
I'll give it a 7.
Okay, Richard Herring?
I'm going to start with 5.
Okay, and Mr. Gideon Coe?
I'm going to give it a very warm 8.
There you go. We're going to add these up, and we'll find out at the end which is the best. Now, this is the music.
the knuckles be there. You know the numbers. Show me the knuckles be there. You know the numbers. Show me the knuckles be there. You know the numbers.
Welcome to the North. That's The Music, released on their website, which is themusic.co.uk, on the 19th of June. You see, this is what it'll be like in the future. I won't be telling you when things are out. I'll be telling you when they're available to download. It's going to be the first release from their new, as yet unnamed, album, which is coming out in September. And new material recorded with Brendan O'Brien, who's well known for working with Americans, Stone Temple Pilots, Korn, Pearl Jam. And they're from Leeds, and they actually are from Leeds, unlike most Leeds bands who actually formed at Leeds University and come from kind of Kent and places like that. They actually are from Leeds. This is Roundtable, by the way, coming to you from London, the special London field of Glastonbury. We have Mark Gardner, who's down there on site in Glastonbury. Mark, I'm going to go to you first again, just because I'm so excited that one of us is not here. I can just press that button and say hello. Mark.
Okay, I'm still here. Yeah.
Now, The Music, well known for having a front man who looks a bit weird and dances in a strange way. Yeah. Does that matter?
No, I think that's good. And I don't know that much about The Music, but I really like this track. It's a great track. And I think, you know, the whole thing with guitar bands, we've heard it, you know, so much before, but there's a vibe on this completely, and I think it's a good mix with, you know, those guys and what they've done with Brendan O'Brien, because it actually sounds really good.
It sounds different to their previous stuff, so it was worth getting the expensive man in, I suppose.
Okay, well, I didn't know that stuff, but this is good. Yeah, I'd be very interested to hear their album on hearing that track. I think it's good.
Do you agree that it sounds a bit 90s? Because you were in the 90s.
No, yeah, I was very. I mean, some of the guitar sounds reminded me of some of those sort of funny pedals that we used to sort of have and make good sounds. No, I don't know. I mean, I thought it sounded pretty fresh, really, which is what I'd give it a lot of credit for, that, because it's not so easy to do now, you know, with that sort of format.
And they are yet another band whose first record came out on Fierce Panda. Every famous band had their first record out on Fierce Panda. What does Simon Williams, who runs that label, what does he have that we don't have? He's got a big ear, a special ear that we have, a special third ear, I think, that can hear successful bands in the making. Richard Herring.
Yes.
The Music. That's a good name.
It is a great name. I was just thinking, you know, I'm amazed no one's thought of that. And I've got an idea for the title of their album.
Ah.
They should call it The Music, because it's literally the music of the music.
That's true.
But it also would be eponymously titled as well. So that's my... But it's confusing, because, you know, when he just said, I don't like the music, did he mean the music that was playing, or did he mean the band, or he likes the music? Already it's confusing. That's why no one's called themselves this before.
Yeah, that's true.
And they've realised.
What did he say? Late. Yeah, right.
there was a band called Surprise Guests when I was on the gig scene in Northampton, and that was always funny, because you could put surprise guests.
Yeah, yeah. Or cancelled.
Yes,
could call yourself
that's
that.
Very good.
I thought it was like a bit like the Manic Street Preachers. That's the closest I could get to it.
That's pretty good.
And I liked it to begin with, and then you just played loads of it, and I got bored of it.
So it was a long track.
I think they should just make it about a minute long. That first bit was good, and cut out the rest.
Yeah. Well, you see, at the moment, you know, we are now getting the means of production back, we the consumer, because we can download things when we want and play them when we like, and we don't need to buy them in shops. And of course, also, we don't want to hear all 5 minutes of that. We can just play 1 minute of it.
Just turn it off.
Turn it off. Yeah.
That's what I would do.
Right.
Do I only have to pay for the first minute, though?
I don't know. In the future, you'll be able to do that.
Must it always come to money? For goodness sake.
Gideon.
Yeah, I like that. Despite with the following provisos, it's only just the right side of being slightly generic rock and roll. It does sound quite mid-90s, although it's not necessarily a bad thing. It's just a bit strange to hear something
brand new. Not in this
room,
it's not.
New. Well, no, exactly. And it's just a bit strange to hear something brand new, which is, you know, sounds, has echoes of that. And his voice is interesting, even though it's just an octave below Geddy Lee's, and there's castanets on it. But despite all that, which I find slightly unnerving, I do like it.
Geddy Lee.
Can you just tell the people on the guest book that my rant didn't run the marathon in just under 5 hours. I ran it in 4 hours 17:50.
This is from the chat room. What was your time again?
4 hours 17:50. Entering, you know, getting past that, the time that everyone aims for, 4 hours 18 minutes. I was inside that.
There,
join
the
exclusive band of runners who've done that.
So, is that a world record? Asked Simon.
It is for a fat bloke from Somerset who's 36.
Do you feel weird when everyone else is in Somerset and you're not?
I do.
Obviously, you don't live there, but it's where you're from. It's where your bones were made.
Yes, but it's very noisy down there at the moment.
Yeah.
It's lots of people.
Your parents still there, aren't they?
They are. They're in Cheddar in Somerset.
So they're okay, away. Yeah. So let's give a mark out of 10 to the music, by which I mean the band, the music, not all music. Richard first?
I'll give it 4.
Mark Gardner?
I'll give it a 7 again.
Okay, Gideon?
Yes, I'll go with 7 as well.
All right, as I say, we're adding these up. After this, you'll hear Grand National.
New music. BBC Six Music. The new music you heard first on Six Music. Franz Ferdinand.
Take me out! You say you don't know!
Kings of Leon. Amy Winehouse. Dogs die in hot cars. Hear the best new bands before they make it big. BBC Six Music, digital radio, online and Freeview 77. New music, Six Music.
To Roundtable on BBC Six Music. Glastonbury's happening. We're happening. I'm Andrew Collins. That was Grand National and Cherry Tree, which is out actually in form of a single on the 19th of July, taken from their debut album, Kicking the National Habit. They're London based. I had them in on the programme once. Lawrence Rudd and Rupert Lydon. Lawrence calls himself La, which is an unusual shortening of Lawrence. He's a builder, or was, and the other one delivered meat. I like that. Bands with a, you know, you need a skill to fall back on. And in fact, La was once in a covers band playing police songs, and he was Sting and Stuart Copeland, which is actually a bit mind-boggling, but there you go. He might also be a liar. It's possible that La is short for liar, and it's about one-night stands, apparently. So that's Grand National. I'm not going to start with Mark Gardner this time, as much as I'm tempted to. Mark, don't feel bad. I know you're still there. Yeah, he's still there. And the sun's still out down there, isn't it?
It's you're looking out the window. Yeah, pretty good. It's all good, yeah.
Excellent. We'll be joining Mark Sutherland and Judy Cullen, if you're listening live, that is, at 7 o'clock down there in Glastonbury with more fun and frolics. Let's start with Richard Herring this time.
I didn't like it. I thought it sounded like rubbish, the police, when they were rubbish.
Police?
What, later on?
Yes. Very rubbish. Well, sort of, you know, probably Sting beyond the police. You know, he should have learnt from being in the police cover band at the age of 13 and being called La and delivering... No, he built things, didn't he?
He built things, yeah.
If he'd built an abattoir, then the other bloke could come and get the meat out of it.
Maybe that's how they met.
It didn't really do anything for me, that one, I'm afraid.
No, fair enough. You played a gig last night, and there was some football on.
Yes, there was, apparently.
So you had... The people who came to your gig weren't interested in England.
Apparently not. I kind of gave them the option to come... I said I'd give them the money back if they wanted to come and watch the game in the bar, but they wanted to come and see me do a half-formed version of my show instead.
That's brilliant. I like that. That's dedication.
Yeah.
Kitty and Co.
I'm getting slight Glastonbury envy just for having Mark Gardner in Glastonbury at the moment. No offence. I'd really like to go and see him at 7.30, is it?
No, it's actually 8.30. 8.30,
oh, that's all right.
I was getting on my time.
And still, you're still not going to make it, Gideon.
Do you reckon?
I hate to break it to you. I don't think
you'll
make it.
Be careful while you're there, because last time I was there, a man gave me like a bag of like some kind of organic crisps or something. They must have been off or something, because everything went really strange about 2 hours later.
It was like
the devil had a bit of liver and was playing with it in front of me.
Really?
Yeah, so watch out for that. They're off. That's their sell-by date.
As for Grand National, I like this less than I have their previous singles. I do quite like it all the same. And it makes me want to go back to listen to the album again, because I think I did rather lazily, and we've all done this from time to time. I just went 30 seconds of one track. That's right. Yeah. 30 seconds of the next. And it's horrible to say this, but
you do that
sometimes. Yeah, people do it.
We've got busy lives.
Well, not only that, but I think sometimes you do go back to records afterwards, and you should always listen to a bit of every track on there.
That's true. I think they're very, very good, Grand National, I must admit, and I do like that. But it's not about me. In the chat room, which I forgot was there for a moment, but it's there, and people are in it, and we're glad you're there, and you can all join the people in there anytime you like, bbc.co.uk/6music. If you're listening live, that is, of course, the repeat. No, you can't. I'm going to go to Mark Gardner. Who's in Glastonbury?
I thought the intro sounded really promising, and then I wasn't so keen actually when it sort of all kicked in, and then as the track went on I grew to like it, but then that's maybe because I'm in Glastonbury and maybe I did see that guy earlier with the funny
the organic crisps. Now I would say don't buy crisps off a man wearing a balaclava. That's my advice for Glastonbury this year, especially if they seem slightly overpriced.
I remember that.
We're giving a mark out of 10 then to Grand National's Cherry Tree. Mark first.
I'm a bit unsure about that one. I'll give it a 4.
Okay, Richard Herring.
3.
Gideon Co.
I'll give it a 6, but I'm going back to the LP.
Okay.
And yeah, I'd like to hear more. Of
yeah, I recommend it, but you know, take my word for it. It's some good stuff on there. And in the chat room, I'm seeing a 5 and a 4 and a 5 and a 5. So everyone's kind of middling on that, but maybe we need to listen to it again. We're going to hear from MC Lars now.
And people tried to put us down when iTunes bumped the post-Cold War sound. A generation sat at the mecca of malls, Times Square, I'm there, Viacom installed. So we hit the net while the Trade Center fell. New York met Hollywood, we ran like hell. No Vietnam for us, Joe Iraq, it's on. So who agreed upon this cowboy Genghis Khan? The choice made, baby, hey, we take it back. Logged in, dropped out, MTV took tracks. They sold it back to us and claimed the correlation. The iMac, iPod, iGeneration. And I'm waiting for the day we can get out. The world is ours, that's a story, no doubt. Wanna be more than info superhighway traffic? Wanna be more than a walking demographic.
Hey, you're part of it.
Talking about the I generation.
Yeah, you're part of it.
Talking about my I generation.
Hey, you're part of it.
Talking about the I generation.
Yeah, you're part of it.
Talking about my I generation.
The I generation, new organization meant optimization and unification. When imagination gave participation in creation of culture and manifestation, the Berlin Wall fell and out we came. The post-Cold War kids laid claim to aim. LOL, OMG, yo, BRB, space colon dash, close parentheses. We sat at our laptops and typed away and found that we each had something to say. Weblogged our fears, our hopes and dreams, individuated by digital means. Fiber optic lenses, DVD, Coca-Cola, Disney, and Mickey D's. Flat mass culture, the norm that took hold. I hope I die before I get sold.
Hey! You're part of it!
Talking about the I generation.
Yeah! You're part of it!
Talking about my I generation.
Hey! You're part of it!
Talking about the I generation.
Yeah! You're part of it!
Talking about my I generation.
We're currently listening to MC Lars and I Generation, but we'll be reviewing it after the news with my guests Gideon Kerr and Richard Herring in London and Mark Gardner in Glastonbury.
On DAB Digital Radio, online and digital satellite channel 870. This is BBC Six Music.
Blanket gets tough with Huntley Carp exams for sale and England head for home.
BBC Six Music.
It's 6:30, I'm Rachel Matthews. Humberside Police Authority is defying a call by the Home Secretary David Blunkett to suspend its Chief Constable David Westwood. Mr Westwood was criticised in a report about the Soham murders. The Authority Chairman Colin Ingalls says Mr Blunkett should think again.
The Police Authority is not a rubber stamp. And if the Home Secretary expected a rubber stamp, then that's, I'm afraid, not what he's got.
The EdExcel exam board says it's confident it'll catch any cheats who've bought stolen A-level papers. 2 days ago, some appeared on the net. Now it's emerged today's biology exam was changing hands on the streets yesterday. A woman fighting to stop her frozen embryos being destroyed says she's heartbroken after losing the latest stage of her legal battle. Natalie Evans says the embryos represent her last chance of having a baby, but her former partner doesn't want them to be used. Tony Blair and the Irish Prime Minister Bertie Ahern have pledged to make a new effort to restart the stalled peace process in Northern Ireland. There'll be several days of talks in September. Last-ditch talks to head off a threatened strike on the London Underground will take place on Monday. RMT members are due out at 6:30 the following evening. England's footballers are flying home tonight after last night's defeat to Portugal. David Beckham, who again missed a crucial penalty in that match, has insisted he won't step down as captain unless he's asked to do so by Sven-Göran Eriksson. The England manager also made it clear that he has no intention of walking away.
I want to stay, of course I want. Then it depends if the English people want me or not. But I have no other plans, absolutely no. It's a World Cup in 2 years' time.
The England flags were in evidence at Wimbledon today. Henman Hill came alive to watch the British number one beat the Swiss qualifier Ivo Heiberger in straight sets. But Greg Rosetsky's out. He lost in a five-setter to the number 8 seed Rainer Schüttler from Germany. That's the Six Music News for now. I'll be back with more in an hour's time.
BBC Six Music.
Six. From 11 o'clock this Saturday, I'll be bringing you the best live music, interviews and reports from the Glastonbury Festival. It's Alive offers you the opportunity to choose your favourite tracks by headliners Oasis and Morrissey. I'm Liz Kershaw. Join me Saturday and Sunday from 11.
BBC Six Music.
You're listening to a special roundtable. Some of it's in London, one bit of it's in Glastonbury. That's the way it's going to be. We'll be reviewing MC Lars' I Generation in a moment. But let's just have a little reminder what it was actually like.
This is BBC Six Music.
And people tried to put us down when iTunes bumped the post-Cold War sound. A generation sat at the mecca of malls, Times Square, I'm there, Viacom installed. So we hit the net while the Trade Center fell. New York net, Hollywood, we
that was the fella. MC Lars, Swedish-American, I Generation that's called. I with a small I Generation. It's out on the 19th of July on Truck Records. It's from the EP called The Laptop EP. And, well, we're not absolutely sure yet whether he's been critical of the generation that he's talking about or whether it's a celebration thereof. Difficult to know. And, well, we'll find out when he plays live dates in the UK in July. And obviously, he says he uses computer-driven beats. I think we could spot that, and samples, but also a small pile of instruments, which is quite pleasing to know. There were some instruments involved there. I don't know which ones. Maybe surgical instruments. I don't know. So if you're listening live, you can join us in the chat room. People are in there already. They're currently reviewing the news, but we'll review the records. bbc.co.uk/6music. If you're listening to the repeat before Lizzie's show, then I'm afraid you can't join us, but why not join us next week? So let's start with Gideon Coe this time. Have you come across MC Lars before?
I haven't, you know. I should know my MC Lars better than I do, and also it's one of those even when hearing it for the second time, I wish I could hear it for the third time, because on the second time, first time I thought that's absolutely shocking, second time, yeah, still absolutely shocking. And so maybe the third time I might warm to it, but I think because what it needs to have, a record like that, for it to work properly, it needs to be lyrically engaging and clever, and it needs to have some sort of hook in there that draws you in and maybe delights you, and is that asking too much? That doesn't appear to have it.
No, it's got some quite clever words.
Quite clever, isn't it?
Coca-Cola, Disney, Mickey D's.
I would say, yeah, well, yeah. Rhythmically, as an MC, he's all right.
It's a bit jerky.
Yeah, a little bit beef jerky, but, you know, it's not quite on the money,
I'm going to go to Glastonbury now, to Mark Gardner, who is playing tonight at the New Tent, if you've just joined us, but very kindly has agreed to come and talk about some other people, just to take his mind off his incredible nerves. Mark, did that help? Why has he disappeared? It says on here, and he's not talking to us, is he? Let's talk to Richard Herring and see what happens. It may come back. Richard, you're here.
Was that real? Was that a real...
It's a real record,
It sounded like a Mel Smith rapper. You know, like Mel Smith punk, when he had, and we did punk rockers, they were always rubbish. Yeah. That was like he's decided to move forward a generation and create a parody. It's like something from the 11 o'clock show, it's that good. Something that wasn't Ali G from the 11 o'clock show.
You've got a picture of the man in front of you.
I have.
He looks real.
I think it's a parody. Yeah. I think it's a joke. It's terrible. He's the I generation. I think I was nearly in the E generation, that means there's been three generations in between me and this generation. So I'm four generations back. Unless I'm Generation X, in which case I've gone all the way around.
That's confusing, isn't it? That they don't do them in alphabetical order, the generations.
Maybe they do. Maybe we just missed out on that. I thought it was absolutely shockingly terrible. It's the worst thing I've ever heard on your radio show.
That's good, though, in a way. I like that, because extremes are quite important for us, just to find some middle ground afterwards.
He's post-punk, apparently. Yeah. He's after punk.
Well, everything is post-punk, really, isn't it?
Yeah.
I wonder, I don't know why Mark Gardner's gone. He should be there.
Yeah,
so
I'm back now. Yes. Sorry, it was actually you guys that went, or something like that.
Sorry, yeah, we did go, sorry.
You went.
Yeah, that's true. You went off to get some snacks from the man on the gatepost.
Yeah,
I'm sure you didn't.
More of those, please.
Yeah. Do you drink before a gig?
I drink wine, yeah. I'm a bit of I spend a lot of time in France now, so I'm a bit of a wino.
A bit of a wino?
Yeah.
So are you drinking now?
I have had two or three glasses of wine today, yeah. But not at this moment, no. I've got a good bottle of water next to me.
All right, because we can do a urine test. We are the BBC. We do have that power. MC Lars.
Puts me in a tricky situation, actually, because the Truck Records, the band that are kindly backing me tonight are Gold Rush, and they are Truck Records.
Right.
And
they're good, Gold Rush.
They're fantastic, yeah. And I'm not a fan of this either, really, I have to say. I could do with hearing it a few more times to sort of see if it gets better, but yeah.
It won't, honestly. There's no way.
Okay, yeah.
Unless it somehow changes.
I'm in a very awkward situation here, so.
Yeah, just say what you think.
I think everyone should go and buy it, because this will help the Gold Rush boys, and but I'm not. I'm not one that will.
Well, no, you don't want to upset the band who are playing
exactly.
with you on
big
stage.
Mutiny on my hand. That's,
yeah,
that's
they
not,
could
that's
just not
playing.
They'll be playing other songs while you're on. right, okay then. So very, very diplomatic from Mark Gardner. Give it a mark then, Mark, as it were.
I'll give it a 4.
You can give it 10 if you want. For Gold Rush, we don't mind.
I'll give it 10 for Gold Rush, yeah. I've got to be honest, I'll give it 4.
Right, we appreciate that.
That was dishonest, it wasn't that good.
Richard?
I've given something 1 before on this programme, so I'm going to have to give that 0.
Right, okay.
Which is the lowest mark ever.
Gideon?
I'm going to hedge around a 4.
Okay, no. There's a 0 in the chat, there's 2 zeros in the chat room, 0.012. out of 100 from Richard. So keep giving them marks and join people in the chat room if you want. There's another 20 minutes to go. And now we're going to go back in time, as we always do, on Roundtable for a reissue. This, if you're a GoPro-tunes fan, will make you very happy because it's from 16 Lovers Lane.
I'm 10 feet underwater, standing in a sunken canoe.
looking up at the water lilies, they're green and violet blue. And still the sun it finds a place to lie to me. And still the sun it finds that it's warm beside me. Green and violet blue. No matter what you say, no matter what you do, I wanna be the one who loves a sign. The letters that we're writing, baby, they just break our heart. And when we're back together again, there's just no time to start. No time to restore. It's all on the ground. What you've been doing against what I found. This is what I found. No matter what you say, no matter what you do, I want to be the one. Playboy or a poet, there's no cool water from the well. I wish you had a big house and that your work would start to sell. Wave after wave.
That's the Go-Betweens. We're going back to 1988 for that. 16 Lovers Lane is amongst some reissues. Tallulah from the year before, and Liberty Bell and the Black Diamond Express from 1986. That's pretty much a pocket career of the Go-Betweens, who were never as famous as they should have been, of course, as solo artists. The two main songwriters, Grant McLennan and Robert Forster, have existed all the time since, and have come back together and played together and have reformed the Go-Betweens. So they're always there, but this is definitely their glory years, I think it's fair to say. My favourite album of the Go-Betweens' career is 16 Lovers Lane, which is why we chose that track. Why not? So is it as good today as it's always been? Their most recent album came out last year, but it's like the Pixies, really. Do we want new stuff from them, or would we rather have them in aspic?
They're from the 1980s.
They are.
Must stay there.
You're very strict, Richard.
I am.
Richard Herring is the strictest of our panel here today. and Gideon, I know, is in love with the Go-Betweens, but that's in a way quite interesting, because do you want them to keep coming back and not being as good as they once were?
I like Bright Yellow, Bright Orange. I thought it was a very, very good record. The previous record was less good. What was it? Friends of Rachel Worth was all right, had some moments on it, and I think they are one of the best bands ever.
Right.
There are probably 20 in there, but I think they're absolutely fantastic. And they're exceptional, because not exceptional, but they're interesting because you've got two very distinctive and different sounding songwriters working really well in a band and bringing songs and then performing them as a band and sounding absolutely brilliant. And I think these three, I think everybody should have every one of their albums, actually, even the early ones where they sound like they just picked up their instruments. You still get hold of them. And these three are three very, very strong records that should be treasured.
Shall I let you tell everybody the interesting fact about the Friends of Rachel Worth?
It is the only Go-Betweens album title that does not feature the double L.
That's brilliant. What a great man for making all that effort and then just completely forgetting about it for one album. I just forgot. It's like, oh, I forgot.
Just add an L on that, Rachel, for goodness sake.
So you're very strict, Richard, about them not coming back from the 80s, but I'm afraid they have come back. But what do you like, just the sound of that record?
I thought that was really very nice indeed. I liked it a lot. I do vaguely remember the Go-Betweens. And I like the fact they're named after an L.P. Hartley novel.
That's true.
As well, which is good.
It's about the only novel where people know the first line of.
Oh, what's that?
It's The Past is a Foreign Country. Oh, they do things differently there.
Yeah. Although it's called The Go-Between, to be fair. Not Go-Between. So they have, Jake.
Yeah.
I always thought they should do a Yellow Pages parody of that with L.P. Hartley looking for a copy of The Go-Between.
Yeah.
No one ever did it.
But, no. Because it'd be too easy to get in any bookshop.
Oh, you've got it.
Yeah.
My name
is L.P. Mark Gardner. What better way to get your mind off the fact you've got to do a gig with some people who don't like you anymore?
Yeah, it's great. And should have stayed in the 90s.
Yeah. So you and the Go-Betweens, have you got lots of their records in your collection?
No, I don't. And it's a band that I've missed out on completely. And I know a lot of people really rave about them. And I don't know, on that record, I didn't think much to it, I must say. it sounded a bit like a guy that I sort of stumbled across last night by his temp playing the guitar. I don't know, I just didn't do anything for me, really.
That could have been Robert Forster.
Could well have been.
Possible. Was he very well dressed and looking slightly loush, though, with his hair all wavy?
No.
Did this bloke have a dog on a string?
Yeah, it's not. No, it's not. It wasn't. Didn't really do much for me.
Fair enough. So you're not going to be investigating their old stuff?
No, but you know, in saying that, it's one of those where you know it could be one of those bands where if I did sit down and listen to a few albums and got, you know, you could really get into it, I guess. But on first hearing, it didn't really turn me on at all.
Well, if you get a record voucher for your next birthday and you really don't want to spend it on, I would say 16 Lovers Lane is a good place to start. Oddly enough, and this may not be a selling point, they've got their double discs, the reissues, and the second disc contains kind of mono versions and live versions of all the same tracks. It's one of those things you'd have to be a real, real collector to want, I think. Even Gideon would probably balk at some of that.
What are you going to do with the mono version?
Well, I don't know. Play it twice. Right, so let's give it a mark out of 10 then. The whole of the Go-Betweens Irv, even if you've only heard a bit of it. Richard Herring?
I'm going to give that 8.
Mark Gardner?
I'm just going to give it a 4.
Fair enough. Gideon Coe?
I never give a 10, but I'll give that a 9.
So it was the same as MC Lars. That was exactly as equal as MC Lars.
Listen, let's not go back. It's very political.
No, you're absolutely right.
My band's probably now just sort of disappearing out of the field with the gear.
No, we're moving on, and we're going to play after this The Ordinary Boys. We don't want a diplomatic incident in the field.
Music. On the new music chart, Chick Chick Chick's Loudon Up Now went straight in at number 1. And with another 18 new entries into the top 40 last week, the fastest moving chart is the official new music chart.
The official new music chart.
I'm Chris Hawkins. Join me this weekend.
This Saturday from 5.
BBC 6 Music.
BBC 6 Music, that's The Ordinary Boys. The album, which is out on July the 5th, is called Over the Counter Culture. That track is from it. Settle Down, it's called. Produced by Stephen Street, who famously produced The Smiths, and Morrissey, and Blur. And they're from Brighton, this lot, and Morrissey likes them. He's got them on as part of his Meltdown Festival at the Royal Festival Hall tomorrow night, if you're listening live. Tonight, if you're listening to the repeat, got to get that right, in London. They're playing the other stage at Glastonbury this Sunday, and they're playing Move and Reading and Leeds and Tina Park and every festival they can possibly get to. So they've been described as The Clash meets The Jam if they've grown up listening to The Smiths, which is just too complicated. I don't know who wrote that. But it's not our fault. We didn't think of it. And they took their name from a Morrissey song from Viva Hate, which was produced by Stephen Street. It's a little bit kind of all tied up with string, isn't it? Mark Gardner, you're down there where they're going to be playing. How do you feel about The Ordinary Boys? Have you heard much about them before?
No, I haven't. Again, I've missed them. But Yeah, I thought this is good. I like it. Yeah, and I'd be, you know, I'm here, so it'd be good to go and see them on that. What did you say? They're on Sunday?
They're on the other stage on Sunday. I'll tell you what time in a moment.
But, yeah, that'd be good.
Can't remember off the top of my head. No, I really like to give out information to the people and to you. So are you staying down for the whole Glastonbury then, Mark?
Yeah, we arrived yesterday just to sort of get into the spirit of things. And, yeah, I think I'm going to stay down because I think, as Gideon says earlier, Orbital have been big favourites of mine as well. And I'd love to see their last gig on Sunday evening. And obviously I'd like to see Paul McCartney tomorrow because I've never seen him before either. And he was pretty
important. Used to be in the Beatles.
Yeah, he was in
Do you think he's going to do Temporary Secretary, Mark? Do you think he's going to do it? Are you familiar with that one? Temporary Secretary.
Is that your favourite that he never played?
It's one of the weirdest things he ever recorded, and it's on the Paul McCartney album, 1980. It's extraordinary.
No, I'm not familiar with that.
Okay.
But I'll yeah, so I think he'll play it.
Yeah, good. Right, thank
there you.
You
go.
It's put you on the spot.
Decisive. Gideon, then, the Ordinary Boys, appeared with Paul Weller, didn't they, in the Heroes issue of The Enemy that came out the other week.
Oh, did they really? I didn't know that.
Yeah, because on the cover it was Morrissey and Franz Ferdinand, clearly the best to sell the issue with, but Paul Weller was there with the Ordinary Boys.
See, they don't sound like the Clash meets the Jam if they grow up listening to the Smiths. They actually sound like Gene if they've been listening to the Chords, but I really like them. I really do like them very much, and I like this album very much. I like that track probably the least of the whole album. There's a song on there called Just a Song, which I think is absolutely fantastic. There's some brilliant songs on there, and I think it's a... Despite all the reference points for this band, and despite the reference points in their name as well, I think the album itself is well worth listening to.
It's quite spunky.
Indeed. Yeah, it is.
Yeah, and is it a goat on the front of the album? Some animal, farmyard animal.
You're right. That's no goat. Isn't that some sort of sheep?
My wife.
Well, Richard, you come from the country. What is it?
It's a black sheep, I think.
Yeah, but it's a black sheep, but the legs are too long, aren't they? The sheep's legs aren't that long. That's got knees, therefore it's not a sheep.
You speak with too much knowledge. The length of a sheep's leg.
It's
a lamb,
legs.
I think, you know.
Yeah, but
they're a bit wobbly to begin with, aren't they? And they, you know, we all go through a stage like that.
Richard, what did you make of the Ordinary Boys?
You know, for me, they're from 2003. They shouldn't be recording music now. They shouldn't have new songs. I'm just interested whether the Clash meets the Jam. Did they have to meet while they were growing up? If they'd grown up, listening to the Smiths, did they grow up listening to the Smiths and then meet? Or did they meet as children and then together listen to the Smiths?
Yeah, perhaps only one of them had a record player and they all had to go round.
It could be. I find that can be. No, I quite liked it. It's all the kind of stuff I like, their influences.
Yeah.
And together that makes something I quite like.
Yeah, that's fair enough.
I'd probably buy that.
Excellent. And I think we've sorted out the lamb problem. It's just a long-legged lamb. Let's give a mark out of 10 then to the Ordinary Boys. Mark Gardner?
I'll give it a 7 again.
Well, I hope you can see them when they play on Sunday.
Yeah, I hope so.
Richard Herring?
I'll come in with 7 as well.
Okay, Gideon?
I'm upping it to 8.
Right, and we're adding all these up. We are going to go with a band that mean a lot to me and are still going. They're The Cure, and their album is called The Cure, which is all wrong because it's their 13th album. But anyway. Cure, they're back. The album, which is called The Cure, which is a strange thing to do, is out on Monday, 28th of June. It'll also be Album of the Day on Six Music that very day, too. 13th album, as I say, Bloodflowers was their last one. I am one of those dyed-in-the-wool Cure fans who have bought all their albums and will always buy all their albums, whatever they're like. I have heard this, and I think it's not bad at all. I think it's better than Bloodflowers, which wasn't as bad as people said, and was not... Well, it was a lot better than the one before, which was Mild World Mood Swings. That's their worst album. Taking Off, it was called. That's quite poppy. There is stuff on there which sounds like, for a man of his age, somebody who's dredging up pain and misery from the pits of his soul, which I think is a good thing, to be able to do that when you're a happily married man, as far as I know, and a millionaire. But spends a lot of time in Brazil. But there you go. 27 million albums sold worldwide, even 28-year career. I still like Pornography from 1982 and Disintegration from 1989. Well, let's not get into this. It's not about me. Richard Herring, The Cure. They're big enough for you to have heard of them.
I have heard of them. That heard like that sounded like The Cure as well. That sounded what I imagined a Cure record from now would sound like, exactly the same. Yeah. Would you buy any album if they released an album that was just Robert Smith going, Andrew Collins is an idiot for an hour? Yes. Would you still buy that?
I would, yeah.
Okay.
I probably wouldn't play it that much.
That came out in 91, didn't it?
That was... Which was Kiss Me, Kiss Me, Kiss You. That was a double album, wasn't it? But that's just... Don't talk about me.
You were.
I was.
Go on, move on.
All right,
there's
Gideon.
There's nothing to see here.
I like the sound of that. That sounds like Poppy Cure, Just Like Heaven type Cure, which sounds good. And from what you're saying, even if the things are good for him now, that's great. But there's always misery you can draw upon in order to fuel your songwriting or whatever, or indeed your life. Yeah. If you get that mix on this Cure album, I'll be pleased with it. So, yeah, welcome back. I sort of saw them off, said Bloodflowers, all right, see you then. Because I thought that was the... But come back, fair enough.
Yeah.
Let's have another album.
Oh, they're back. And, we'll be celebrating The Cure later in the year. And as I say, celebrating them on Monday. Mark Gardner, you and The Cure.
Yeah, I'm sort of with you, Andrew, on The Cure. Always been a fan. Sort of, I think the early CD that I ever bought, I remember buying, was, I think, Kiss Me, Kiss Me or something like that. And played it to death. And Disintegration, I thought it was classic. Like you say, Pornography. I've got most of the albums. I didn't have Bloodflowers. I missed that. I've got a lot of respect for Robert Smith, and I think he's still writing great songs by the sound of this. And yeah, and listening to the lyrical content, I think it's great. They're really good.
Well, there's two songs on this album in which he swears and says the F word more than once, which is a new development for The Cure.
He's done that before, hasn't he? Didn't he do that? Kiss Me, Kiss Me, I think.
Did he? Well,
maybe.
That was the other version of Kiss Me, Kiss Me. There was a hardcore version of it with a different title.
What about the fact that he is a man in his 40s and he's still got, although not quite spiky, back-combed hair? Is that right for a man of his age? And still got a bit of the lipstick going on and a big baggy jumper?
Come on, John Cooper Clarke. Case in point, looks great on him.
Yeah, I mean, Robert Smith, isn't it? I mean, it's... That's who he is, I guess.
I think you're right. He's outside of criticism, really, isn't he?
Yeah.
And when he cut his hair... It was a major news story, wasn't it? It was on MTV when he got his hair.
Actually, I thought he looked really good when he had the old... when they sort of pulled the wigs off. What was that on that video?
Yeah, that's right.
Orange. I thought he looked really good with the short hair as well, but... Yeah.
Did he ever wear a jumper that fitted him properly?
He likes baggy stuff. Yeah, he likes to be able to feel the sleeves of his clothes with his thumbs hooked through the holes in there. He likes that. I quite liked it, this album, but I'm not going to give it a mark out of 10 because I can't. If I did, no, seriously, within their canon, and I've only heard it about twice, I would give this album, out of 10, I would think a sort of 7 to 8. Mm. And I would have given Bloodflowers a 6 to 7, and I would give Wild Mood Swings about a 5.
Okay.
But anyway.
That's a nice guideline for the rest of
us. Go on then, Gideon.
Okay, well, judging by that, I'll go for an 8 then.
Okay. Richard Herring?
Well, if you say 8, I'm going to say 8. 7 to 8. 7.5, I'm going to say.
Okay. And Mark Gardner?
I don't want to say 8 because everyone else is saying 8, but I'm going to say 8. Because,
right, well, I think...
Yeah, it's good. It's
that really means
good.
The Cure have won, I think. Yeah, they've won. They beat the Ordinary Boys. The Ordinary Boys won out of the youngsters, but The Cure won out of the oldsters. Right, it's been a great pleasure. Gideon, enjoy your holiday.
Thank you very much indeed.
Richard Herring, enjoy your warm-up gigs.
Thank you.
For the 12 Tasks of Hercules. Which is appearing at Edinburgh.
Tis the Pod Deco at 8:30, not 7:10, like it says in the Fringe programme.
And also, you can also go to richardherring.co.uk to find out
.com.
More. .com. Oh, come on. Mark Gardner is playing very soon, so go ahead and warm up, Mark.
I will. I'll go and do my exercises.
We really do appreciate you talking to us and spending a whole hour of your time here.
No, it's a pleasure,
enjoy the rest of Glastonbury.
I will do.
Have a good gig. And Mark and Julie are not far behind with a live music week, unless you're listening to the repeat, in which case you'll hear from Liz, who will have more stuff from Glastonbury. This is The Cure. I don't know what's going on. No, it's called that. I'll be back next week. I've been Andrew Collins.